Amen. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins." And that's good news, isn't it? That's good news. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless you for those of you watching in our gym. And I pray that God blesses you as you turn in your Bible and follow along this morning. If you would open, please, to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. And we'll look at verses 8 through 12. Message is entitled, "To Be or Not to Be?" And we'll see what the question really is. Psalm 26, 8 through 12. Welcome to those of you watching online, and I pray that God will stir your heart today as well. Verse 8, David wrote, "O Lord, I love the habitation of thy home, of thy house, and the place where thy glory dwells." Hey, that's a great verse to read when you're at church today, right? "Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregations I shall bless the Lord." To be or not to be? Where is it we should be and not be? Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'll use this message in a powerful way to touch hearts, to keep us in the right way, to keep us where we need to be and away from where we do not need to be. I pray for all those in this building, those in the Life Center, those watching at home, those listening later. I pray that you'll bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you've probably heard the expression, "He was in the wrong place at the wrong time." Maybe the best way to avoid that is don't be in the wrong place in the first place. Tsutomu Yamaguchi was in the wrong place twice. August 6, 1945, Tsutomu was in Hiroshima, Japan, on a business trip for Mitsubishi Industries. Stepping off a streetcar, he looked up and saw a plane overhead and two large parachutes attached to something really big descending to the ground. Then came that sudden blinding flash of light and heat from a nuclear bomb called Little Boy, leaving Tsutomu with burns across his torso and also rupturing his eardrums from the blast and temporarily blinding his eyes. Tsutomu managed to find his way to a bomb shelter, and the next day he was able to walk back to his home in Nagasaki. 3 days later, on August 9, Tsutomu was at work telling his boss about the blinding white flash. And then he saw the same white flash again outside his office window. He didn't receive burns from the second bomb, but he did receive a high fever, and he threw up for over a week. He was very, very sick from the radiation. The blast destroyed Tsutomu's house, but his wife and son survived because they just happened to go to the store to purchase some burn ointment for him at the moment the second bomb dropped. Tsutomu was officially the only recognized survivor of both nuclear bombs in 1945. He lived to be 93 years of age, but died of cancer in 2010. I think it's fair to say he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, there's times it's hard to avoid being in the wrong place, but there's other times it's not. Psalm 26 has the same feel as Psalm 1, also written by David, and it shares the blessing of being in the right place, which is delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating in it day and night. So believers are planted by streams, bearing fruit in their season. And then there's danger of being in the wrong place, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful, causing you to be like chaff which the wind drives away. Clearly, where you sit, walk, and stand, these things impact the direction of your life and your children's lives. All of Tsutomu's children had health problems, even those born after 1945, because of where Dad had been, proving you are and where you go not just affect you, but they affect the generations that come after you. Think about that. If you don't believe it, ask David's first infant son he and Bathsheba had from the affair. The infant died. David prayed. David cried. The baby died. And by the way, he said, "He cannot come to me, but I shall go to him." I love that because that gives the hope that you'll see your infant children again in heaven. Lot chose to live in Sodom. He chose to be in the wrong place. It cost him. Samson chose to go to the Valley of Sorek, and it cost him. And all throughout history, people have made the decision to be in the wrong place with the wrong people, and it cost them. But when they've chosen to be in the right place with the right people, God blessed them. Proving if you want to be blessed of God, choose to be in the right place with the right people. Now, I'm not sure how it was when you were back in school. It was a long time ago since I was in school. But those who tended, and I say the word tended, to make lower grades sat in the back of the class, and those who tended to make higher grades sat at the front of the class. Now, I started out sitting in the back of the class with the talkers and the goofballs. I was one, and my grades were lower. But then I realized if I sat at the front of the class with the straight-A students and the brainiacs, as we call them, my grades were higher. Matter of fact, some teachers thought I was smarter just for sitting at the front of the class. Meaning where you are determines what you become. Oh, let me say that again. Where you are determines what you become. Do you want to be with the right crowd, or do you want to be with the wrong crowd? To be or not to be? That's the question. Notice, first of all, to be blessed of God, believers should notice where to be. Where to be. Look in verse 8. Verse number 8. O Lord, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory dwells. Paraphrase, I love going to church, and I love being faithful at church. You know, Acts 2:46 says the early believers met daily in the temple. They met on the Lord's day, but they met on Monday through Saturday as well. They met daily to hear the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to break bread and to have prayer. They met together, and like David, they loved the place where God's glory dwelt and God's people assembled to learn and worship, and so should we. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, blessed believers are faithful at church. And Christian, the closer we get to our Lord's return, the more faithful at church we ought to be. The Idaho State Journal carried an article this past Friday about what they called, and this is not a Christian publication, the Idaho State Journal, about the Great Reset. That was the title, the Great Reset. In case you don't know, the Great Reset's a global effort to consolidate control of all the world's economies and governments under a single umbrella. And the impetus for doing this is pandemic and climate change. Speaking at the World Economic Forum, the UN and International Monetary Fund were quoted to say that politicians are promoting a global movement to replace capitalism with societal planning. And that may be socialism. The Great Reset requires collapsing the old system to replace it with a new. Enter massive inflation, supply chain distribution shortages, labor shortages, higher prices, and unpayable national debt. Exit capitalism, individualism, freedom, and personal choices. Wikipedia, not a bastion for conservatism, reported the World Economic Forum is suggesting that a globalized world is best managed by, quote, a self-directed coalition of multinational corporations and governments, end quote. Have you read the book of Revelation lately? Revelation 13 describes a beast arising out of the sea, amazing the world so that all follow after him. 13:6, he causes the small and the great and the rich and the poor to be given a mark on the right hand or forehead, and providing no one buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Does the Great Reset get us nearer to this event? I believe it does. And I am afraid the conditions of our world are getting serious. But many Christians are not. Yesterday's newspapers carried these headlines across the world. Here's some headlines. All trees have died. Iraqis faced intensive water crisis. Pope meets Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, wants to divide Israel, give the Temple Mount to the Arabs. Asteroid the size of the Eiffel Tower is heading to Earth in December. I sure hope it misses. 30% of millennials identify as LGBT. 30%. Food pantries face impact of supply chain crises ahead of Thanksgiving. And then the big one that caught my attention, church leaders endorse Great Reset, demonic ideology embraced by Christian leaders. Now, let me just say, regardless of your perspective on these things, here's what I hope you'll agree at least they mean, regardless of whether you like these things or not. We are getting nearer to Christ's return. And because we're getting nearer to it, we need to be more faithful in being with believers in the habitation of God's house, in the place where God's glory dwells. Did you know in 1937, 3/4 of all Americans were members of a church? 1937. 1946, 2/3 of Americans were members of a church. A Gallup poll recently reported this week the number is now less than half, 47%. And for millennials, those born between 1980 and 1999, only 1/3 of millennials are members of a church. 2/3 are members of no church, attend no church, go to no church, and probably have no interest in spiritual things. What does this suggest about the future of America? It suggests we're becoming more secular and less interested in Christian truth and the things of God's Word. We've moved from David's sentiment where he said, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where God's glory dwells, to one that says, well, I really don't care a whole lot about the habitation of God's house or the place where his glory dwells. Here we are getting nearer to Christ's return, but it seems like people are getting farther away from an interest in the teachings of God's Word. It's like a medical doctor saying infection rates are skyrocketing, but interest in antibiotics is going down. That's where we are. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus about the signs of the coming and the end of the age, and he responded by telling them about the rise of people claiming to be the Messiah. We got a lot of folks think they're the Messiah. He talked about an increase in wars and famines and earthquakes and false prophets. In verse 12, Jesus said, and because lawlessness is increased, can we agree that lawlessness is increasing? Most people's love will grow cold. Friend, I believe we're there. Lawlessness is increasing, and the people's love for God and spiritual truth is fast growing cold. We need believers who will step up and say, oh, I love the habitation of thy house. I love the place where God's glory dwells. I love being with God's people, and more than anything else in the world, I love going to church. Friend, I can tell you, believers in Colombia, they love going to church. I and three others from our church were in the city of Facatativa, Colombia this past week. Nelson Gonzalez is pastor. Our purpose there was to help the church find land so they can build a larger building. They currently are meeting in a rented building with 3 floors, and they're running 150 people in a sanctuary that has 62 seats. I counted them. I counted each one. On the first floor, again, in the sanctuary, and the second floor, the children's classes, and up on the roof are the jóvenes, the teenagers, up on the roof. Church has 2 services, 1 at 9, 1 at 11. 60 people on average, not Easter, on average attend at 9 p.m. 90 people attend on average at 11 a.m. And like I said, I have counted 62 chairs. The building is very narrow. In fact, the building is about as wide, I think, as the middle section here of our aisles, but that's how wide the building is. And Pastor Nelson showed me pictures on his phone of both services, and I'm here to tell you, friend, it is packed. It is packed. And friend, I can tell you, those folks love the habitation of God's house. They love the place where God's glory dwells. The same is true for all the churches there that we support, the pay the rent and pay the pastors in Guaduas and Bijeta and Mave, San Isidro, Las Marias, Sasaima, Mosquera, San Francisco, Guayabal, and the Military Institute. We have services where Colombia's military soldiers are training and some of their prisoners are kept. We have services there. We have Pastor Nelson goes there. They've got a projector this church donated, and they have their hymns on the projector. They can't have a TV because they'll watch soccer, but they can have a projector. It's amazing. And the services are well attended. And I've discovered when you love doing something, it's hard to keep you from doing it. Isn't that true? David loved being around the Lord's altar. He loved being around the Lord's people. He loved being around the glory of the Lord. He liked being where the action was, where God was doing things. So believers who were learning God's truth, their lives could be changed, and so should we. And that's why the great hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote, how pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, come let us seek our God today. Yes, with a cheerful zeal we haste to Zion's hill, and there our vows and honor pay. And friend, that's why church is the place to be, with God's people, His presence, His power. That's why we want to go to church. David told us where we should be. Number two, where not to be. Not to be. Look in 9 and 10. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. In verse 4 of this chapter, David wrote, I do not sit with deceitful men, and I will not go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. As I said, this sounds remarkably similar to Psalm 1 about not standing, not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, or standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, Christian, listen, on one hand, we are called to share the gospel with unbelievers. And you can't do that if you're not where they are. I get it. That's our call. But on the other hand, teenagers, listen, we need to be very careful not to get so close to their lifestyle, beliefs, convictions, and worldview that theirs become ours. All the water, as someone wrote, all the water in the world, no matter how hard it tried, could ever sink the soul's craft unless it got inside. All the evil in the world, the bitterness and sin, could never hurt you in the least unless you let it in. God has called us to love unbelievers, but not live like unbelievers. He's called us to remember the truth of 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals. If you put your canoe in a stream flowing downhill, you and the canoe are going to go downhill. I mean, you're going to go downstream. And it's hard to row upstream against the tide. We always become like those with whom we associate. We do, always. So we need to make sure, and that's true for dating as well, young people. You will become like those. The lower of the two values and spiritual plateaus, it will dictate what it is for both of you. 18-year-old Stone Foltz, a student at Bowling Green State University. Second year of business school, bright young man, smart, good-looking young man. He made friends in the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity. And let me just say something here. Young folks, that's not a good idea. I'll say most, and I'm being conservative, most, I won't say all, I'll say most Greek fraternities and sororities are built on drinking alcohol. Most. I didn't say all, I said most. And that was true for Pi Kappa Alpha in Bowling Green. To be a member, you had to prove your allegiance to the god of booze by drinking a 1.75 liter bottle of liquor. That's the equivalent of 41 and a half ounce shots in a short period of time. Stone Foltz, the 18-year-old young man, second year business student, he got it all down, almost 2 liters of alcohol, and he began to violently throw up. His roommate said, I've never seen anybody throw up like that before. But throwing up didn't stop the young man from having to be taken to the hospital, and he died of alcohol poisoning in the hospital. Oh, that he would have listened to the voice of Psalm 26 and not been a part of evildoers in whose hands was a wicked scheme. Friend, if church is the place to be, and it is, being with unbelievers in a way that you'll be influenced to do wrong, hear that whole proviso, is also the place not to be. Influence, influence. What influences you? Who is influencing you? Let me put it in real simple terms. There's two kinds of dogs, those with fleas and those without fleas. If you hang around dogs without fleas, you're not going to get fleas. If you hang around dogs with fleas, you're going to get fleas. Do you want fleas? No, no. And I know that this is a metaphor, of course, right? You understand. Somebody says, my dog don't have any fleas. I'm not talking about dogs. Do you want their values? Do you want their convictions? If you hang around them, they'll be yours. You'll think like they think and do what they do and go where they go, and you'll yoke up with them, and before you know it, like two cattle, oxen in a yoke, you're going to be going the same direction, pulling and doing the same thing. You know why teenagers drink? It's because of peer pressure. Really, it's peer pressure. If you don't go to the party and drink, well, I won't be accepted as cool. They'll think I'm a nerd. I've been a nerd all my life. It ain't so bad. Amen? All right. We all part of the nerd society? Scott Lake Baptist. That's where all the nerds go. Amen. I'm the head nerd. I love it. I do. Oh, if you don't do what they do, you won't have an image. You won't have any friends. You won't get the date with the good-looking this or that, whatever. Teenager, you don't need to think that way. You don't need those friends. You don't need that image. You don't need those dates. You know, even if the Bible were not true, it is true. It is true. The Bible says, stay away from alcohol. You know, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a rage, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. No, you won't lose your salvation if you drink some wine, but man, not wise, not wise, not wise. You know, if the Bible weren't true, listen to this. Alcohol is responsible for 1/4 of all ER admissions, 1/3 of all suicides, 1/2 of all traffic deaths. And those are pretty good reasons not to drink. But it affects your liver and your brain. Dr. Robert Haas, MD, president of the American College of Sports Nutrition, said, beer, wine, and hard liquor form toxic substances called aldehydes that destroy the liver, the kidneys, and the brain cells. It kills your body. It kills your mind. The Surgeon General released a study in 2007. 2/3 of students, listen students, 2/3 of students with mostly A's don't drink. Amen. 1/2 of students with D's and F's are heavy drinkers. What does it mean? It means it's wise not to drink. It's wise. Again, even if the Bible weren't true, you can argue this, you can argue that, but it's wise not to do it. Don't do it. Be wise about your friends, certainly your close friends. Heed the words of David. He said, I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. Don't take my soul away with sinners or those with wicked schemes. If you want to be blessed of God, you must know where to be and you must know where not to be. And then 3, you must know what to be. What to be. 11 and 12. But as for me, David said, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me, save me, be gracious to me. He is, he has. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregations, I shall bless the Lord. You've got to decide to be a man or woman of integrity. Someone who's redeemed, saved, thankful, standing in the level place. You know, I like level places. I don't have to worry about sliding and falling down on level places. It's amazing how much safer you are on the level place. Praising the Lord in the congregation. It's not enough to know where to be and where not to be. You got to decide what kind of person you want to be. Parents, listen to this. Grandparents, listen to this. More than what college, teenagers, more than what college you want to attend and what major you want to select and what vocation you want to work, the big question is, the biggest of all questions is this. What kind of person do you want to be? That's the question. And parents, that's the first and biggest question to help your kids decide. Well, he's going to go there, and he's going to be this, and he's going to do that, and this is what he's going to work, and this is what he's going to make. He's going to buy this kind of house, this kind of car. He's going to have this kind of this and this kind of that. The issue is not what pays most financially. The issue is what pays the most, here we go, spiritually. Help them learn integrity, honesty, faithfulness, godliness, a good work ethic, obedience to God's word. These are the most important priorities that you can teach your children and grandchildren. You got to do that. Let me say it again. What's important is not what you do or what you earn. I know that's what we focus on. He's this, he's that, he works here, he has this position, this title, this, that. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is how you live and invest your life for the glory of God and the kingdom of God. Think about that. I think about a young man named Andrew Scott, born in Ireland, 1842. His dad was a pastor. His brother was a pastor. Andrew was described by those who knew him as a tall, dark, and handsome man. While he was such a suave-looking young man, he had the nickname Captain Moonlight. I don't know that that sounds too good. 26 years of age, he gets a job as an engineer, a surveyor. He makes friends with a couple guys at the bank. He decides he needs some more money. One night, as his employee friends were leaving the bank, Andrew disguised himself in mask and cloak and robbed his two friends and escaped. Well, he was such a suave, debonair, good-looking guy. Nobody ever, ever thought it was Andrew Scott. And so a couple of years pass, and he's living off the proceeds of his bank robbery. Nobody suspected a thing. Then lack of integrity kicked in. It always does. He began writing bad checks, and he bought all kinds of things with bad checks. Why, he bought a new yacht. I don't know that they could check the balance of his checking account like they can today. His intention was, with this new yacht, sail to Fiji with a woman who was not his wife, just the two, sailing on the yacht, going to Fiji. Before he left, they started out sailing. They pulled him over. They caught him on the ocean, arrested him, imprisoned him for the bank robbery he committed earlier. He was caught. Be sure your sin will find you out. Well, Andrew faked being insane. They sent him to an insane asylum. He was tried for bank robbery, found guilty, sentenced to 10 years in hard prison. In prison, Andrew befriended some bad guys, three prisoners, the kind of bad men of whom David warned in Psalm, shall we say, 26. Andrew and his three friends escaped from prison. They planned a prison break. And would you believe that this man, whose daddy was a preacher and whose brother was a preacher, they took two children as hostages and killed a police officer. Andrew Scott and his friends were found guilty of murder. They were hanged. January 20, 1880. His dad was a pastor. His brother was a pastor. Andrew Scott, the tall, dark, handsome, good-looking guy, Captain Moonlight, the guy who forged checks so he and a woman to whom he wasn't married could sail the ocean and go to Fiji. He made getting money a higher priority than having integrity. He made getting money a higher priority than having integrity. Going to church, learning God's word, that's for dad and brother. That's not for me. Not a big deal. Not on the radar. Not for me. Not for me. Being with the wrong crowd, oh yeah. Doing the wrong thing, oh yeah. But in the end, he was not blessed. And the wages of sin is still death. See, the best place to be in all the world is in Christ. The worst place in all the world to be is not in Christ. And when you're in Christ, your life is changed. And you live a level life of integrity and faithfulness and service to the Lord, glorifying Him, that brings all the blessings of God in our lives. Where you are determines what you become. Where you are determines what you become. What kind of life do you want to live? What kind of choices do you want to make? Do you want to be where you should be or where you shouldn't be? Do you want your life to glorify the Lord? Or do you want to live for self? That's a good question. 100 years from now, after we've all entered eternity, newsflash, none of us in this room are going to be here 100 years from now. I dare say in the gym, even if you're really young, it's not likely any of you will be here on this whole planet 100 years from now. I think the Lord could come back today, matter of fact. But 100 years from now, when you've entered eternity, what will really have mattered while you lived? What will have mattered? What will have mattered? To be or not to be? What kind of person do you want to be? That's what really matters. That is the question. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there's one here this morning who has never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, thank you, Lord, that He provides a way, the only way, by which our sins can be forgiven and we can go to heaven when we die. Father, if there's one that's not 100% sure, maybe they're 90% sure, 80% sure they're heaven bound, and heaven is their final destination, I pray, God, you'll speak to their heart right now. Show them that they could call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Lord, for this great truth. Thank you that we can put our faith in Christ. What He did on Calvary's cross is all we need so that we're on the road to heaven. Lord, I pray for Christians that have heard this message that will all determine where we should be and should not be. And Most importantly, what we should be. Help us to be people that are standing on a level place, serving you, loving you, living for you with your people, using the life you've given us to make an impact on the kingdom of God. If there's one here this morning, a couple, a family, needs a church home, if Scott Lake is where you want them to be, I pray you'll tug at their heart and let them know. As we stand to sing Just As I Am, they'll sense a desire to come be a part of our church family here at this place. For whatever decision it might be, Lord, we pray you'll stir hearts. Lord, these are significant times, unique times. Help us to be committed and faithful in our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll stand at the front today. We have a gospel invitation. If you need to have prayer with me, if you're not certain, not 100% certain, heaven is your final destination, then you would come forward, and we have counselors who were trained with an open Bible can share with you how you can be 100% certain heaven is your final destination. 100%. 100%. Let's stand and sing. I'll wait for you. Come on. As we stand and sing, Just As I Am. I'm not on the ear, but I'm on. I want us to sing one last verse today. Again, are you 100% sure? Está un 100% seguro cielo es tu destino final. No 90, no 80, un 100% seguro cielo es tu destino final. This is the place you can be sure today. Today is your day. Why not come right now? This is the last verse. No other verses. There's one way to heaven. Solo uno camino a Dios. Ese día es por usted. Let's sing. Last verse.
Thank you.
Well, very good. Would you please be seated? And I have Ben. Come on up here. Ben and Rita. Balsano, right?
Yes.
How'd I do?
Good.
And they shared with... All right. And they shared with me where they were saved in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Is that right?
I was. She was in Mobile, Alabama.
And Mobile, Alabama. Man, those are great cities. Their membership now is at First Baptist Bartow, and they're transferring their membership from Bartow to here at Scott Lake. They believe this is where God wants them. And they've been attending Scott Lake for some time. So if you rejoice in Ben and Rita Balsano's coming by transfer of letter, would you smile and raise your hand and say, praise the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Well, guys, we are so thrilled to have you part of our church family. And we hope we can minister to you and you guys can get plugged in and use your spiritual gifts. Sweet folks, get to know them. And they're looking for a Sunday school class, too. So just threw that out there, right? All right. Well, we're honored to have you guys. We're going to stand to be dismissed, and Robert is coming for offertory prayer. Again, let me encourage you to come back tonight. We have a couple. This is a young couple, is my understanding. Of course, you know, 61, everybody sounds young. Anyway, I don't know how old they are. They sound young. But at any rate, served in Spain as they were serving there to help train believers to share their faith. And so that's what they do, train believers to share their faith in Spain. And Sarah was the journeyman. Is it a journey woman if it's female? I don't know. Journeyman, okay. We need to start really promoting the journeyman program to our teenagers. I had a conviction about that this week. You know, we sometimes go for the grand slam, career missionary, boom. Maybe we ought to go with the journeyman. 2 years on the foreign field and work with a missionary couple, kind of get a taste of it. Let's go for a base hit. So I encourage them to really push that tonight. And so hope to see you back tonight. Sweet couple. Family, we are honored that you came today to be part of Jesus' baptism. It is our joy to have you with us. And you're among friends. Glad you're here. So glad you're here. All right, come up and let Rita and Ben know you rejoice and they're coming to be a part of the Scott Lake family. All right, Brother Robert, let's all stand. And if you wouldn't mind, please voice our closing prayer for the offering and benediction.
Let's pray, please. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. We thank you for these that have come to join with us. We thank you for Jesus. Please remember that he is our new member. We need to pray for him and his family. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity that we have to come and to listen to your word. And now for the opportunity to give back to you a portion of what you've given to us. We ask you to bless the gifts. May it go and extend your grace to us. Be with us this week as we go out. Lead us someone to tell them about Jesus. We ask you, Heavenly Father, now to be with us, guide and direct us, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.